Friends, today we're going to have an honest heart-to-heart conversation. I am not teaching, I am not preaching. I want us to talk. I want us to have a conversation that we don't have often enough, but we need to start to have. You know, over the last few days, I've been rereading the book of Judges, and Judges chapter 16, verse 20 really spoke to me. Let me read. The word of God says, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." My friends, there are people who need to hear that you will not always be able to shake yourself free like you are used to. Friends, I am talking about the snare of repeated, consistent, willful sin. You know, in this passage of scripture, what had happened is that Samson had gone off to a land where he happened to meet this woman, Delilah. Delilah was a woman who was belonging to the Philistines. And what ended up happening was they told her that, "Hey, listen, because he's really interested in you, what we will do is we will give you a lot of silver. We will give you basically a lot of money to bring him to us. He's been a problem to us. He's been a terror to us. And we want you to know in interacting with him where the strength he has lies, what makes him so powerful in comparison to other men." And Delilah kept badgering Samson. The Bible says she kept pestering him. She kept asking. And what ended up happening is that Samson gave away his power. You know, I've never experienced this. I've never seen it happening myself. But people say that if a frog was put in cold water and the temperature of the pot that the frog would be in starts to be increased, the frog will not realize it. It will just start to adjust to its environment until it's too late and the water is piping hot, it's boiling, and this leads the frog to its death. And yet when you think about it, the frog is such that, you know, it's an animal that can jump. It could have jumped out of that pot a long time ago, but why did it not? It didn't, because it thought it can handle it. It adjusted to its environment. And that's what was happening with Samson. You know, that the first time, you know, Delilah was badgering, he lied to her. He held on to his secret that he was a Nazarite and his hair was not meant to be cut. And what happened was when the Philistines came, because Delilah did a thing, she's like, "You know, Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And each time, Samson would escape. And Delilah would come again and says, "You lied to me. You know, if you love me, you'll tell me the truth." Until Samson gave away his power. You know, my friends, every single time you're in willful sin, the enemy is playing the same Delilah Samson dance with you. He's coming to you, you know, with enticement. Maybe you are in fornication. Maybe you are stealing. And each time you get away with it, you know, you become braver. You become braver. You think that it is okay. All the while, like the frog, your conscience is being seared. Your conscience is being seared until it gets to a point that you don't even feel that guilt anymore. You don't even feel that conviction anymore. And little do you know that as much as you are getting to this place, the enemy is positioning you in a place, in a situation where, like Samson, you think you're safe, but you're no longer safe. Your power has been taken away from you. You have freely given away your power because you were dancing with Delilah. You were dancing with the enemy, and you've reached a point where you are thinking like other times, like what Samson did, like other times you are just going to shake yourself free, yet you didn't know that you've reached a point where the covering of the Lord has departed from you. Friends, this is a very sensitive topic because we are the generation that always says we are under grace. We are under grace, so it doesn't matter what happens, what I do, it doesn't matter because the grace of the Lord covers me. But my friends, when we start to really read the word, you know, as I was stewing on this and I was like, "God, help me, Father, to know that if I'm not careful, if I do this Delilah dance with willful sin, with repeated sin, with consistent sin, a day is going to come where the enemy has got me in his clutches and I will not be able to escape." And, you know, I don't want to speak just out of my own mouth, my friends. I want to let the word of God speak itself. You know, I open my Bible and I kid you not, I opened my Bible and I made some notes. You can see here, I made some notes at the end of my Bible. And this is the last page of my Bible. And face to face, I came with Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And the Bible says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." And this really struck me, my friends, because I felt convicted and I felt a strong weight in this message, in this conversation, because I was like, we have to come to terms with the fact that even though we are under grace, it does not mean that sin, willful sin, repeated sin has become okay. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 22, my friends, verse 12, which is in bold red, the words of the resurrected Christ. And he is saying, "I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me for everyone according to his work." Does this mean that we need to work to be in salvation? No, my friends, the work of salvation is done and dusted and complete. But how do you show that you've really received the true gift of salvation? You are transformed, that you hate what God hates and you love what God loves, and God hates sin. So if we're making a dance with Delilah, if we're making a dance with sin, how can we truly have been in Christ when we are loving and we're dancing and we are in bed with what the Lord hates? It doesn't make sense. I'm not here to scare you, but I pray that this word convicts you as it did me, really, to be honest with you. May this message convict all of us, for us to say, "Lord, we repent for being in bed with sin. We repent for being in bed with Delilah. We repent for, Lord, as the word of God says in Hebrews, for really stamping on the Spirit of grace." I think the book of Hebrews calls it insulting the Spirit of grace. Let's go to it, actually. Let's go to it, because I don't want it to be about my opinion, friends. I want it to be about the Word of God. So let's just continue with it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." These are not my words. This is not the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, and I will read it again. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." My friends, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. It continues to say, "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" May God help us. May God help us that when we say we are under grace, that we don't insult the Spirit of grace by willful sin. My friends, we're all going to sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're justified only through the works of Jesus Christ." But now that you are in him, I pray that your hunger and your desire may be that, "Lord, help me to hate what you hate and love what you love." Because a day is going to come, my friends, where you're expecting that you're going to get out of that position of sin in the same way that you're used to. And you realize, like Samson, that your power has left you. Your power has left you. I don't want to add to this word. I just want the word to stew, because it's a conversation. And the conversation I want us to have is, God, God, help us. Help us to understand that you've not changed your mind about willful sin. The conversation I want us to have is, are we really dead to sin and alive in Christ. Because the word of God says that we are no longer slaves to sin, but now we are alive in Christ. Are our lives reflective of that? Or have we become people that have allowed room, have allowed sin to dwell in the same place with the things of God? Have we become those blended type people where we've blended the things of Baal and the things of God and it's become okay? But you know what the word of God says? The word of God says to our churches now, especially my friends, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Friends, the Lord was not speaking to unbelievers. The Lord was speaking to churches. And this is the last church that was spoken to in the book of Revelation by the Lord Jesus. The words are in red. And I believe that our churches are here. We are here, Lord. And I pray that as we have this conversation, we examine our hearts. Because the Lord is saying that if you are lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. The Lord is saying, if we are lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. The gracious God is saying that. The merciful God is saying that. The God of the new covenant afforded to us by Christ, not by works, is saying that. That if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That the Lord is saying, I would rather you be hot or cold. Be hot or cold. That you think you're wealthy, you've become wealthy, you've become so knowledgeable. You're the generation with so many prophets, you're the generation with so many teachers, you're the generation with so many influencers, you're the generation with knowledge on your fingertips, you're the generation with Google, you're the generation who can just easily just look up something and gain knowledge. And you think that you are knowledgeable. You think that you are wealthy in knowledge, in revelation, in wisdom. Yet you are wretched. Yet you're poor. Yet you're blind. And the Lord is saying, come to me. Come to me. Come buy from me. Come buy from me refined gold. Gold refined with fire. My friends, Jesus is saying you're refined by fire. That you may be rich. That your garments will be white, that your eyes will be open. And you know, a message like this, the Lord sends it not to cause us to feel discouraged, but the word continues to say that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And I pray in the name of Jesus that none of us will be like a Samson who reach a point where it's already too late. You think that you're just going to break free from that bed like you are used to, and only to realize that the Lord has departed from you. May we be a generation that are quick to repent, because the Lord says in the word in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 that come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and favor, mercy and grace. The throne of grace is there. The grace and the mercy is there for the taking. But it is only for those people who recognize their sin and run and repent and kneel before the Father and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I am a sinner. Father, I'm a sinner. I come before you. I am in bondage. Yes, I've confessed Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of my life, but I'm in bed with sin. I'm in bed with Delilah. Lord, I repent. I run to you and I ask for your grace to equip me, Lord, with the ability to resist the temptation. Mercy to be able to be forgiven. Mercy is already there. We're forgiven when we approach the throne of grace. Mercy that is unearned. We're forgiven. And the Lord equips us with the grace to go and sin no more. But many of us don't want that. We want to just come back and say, sorry, Lord, and go back to bed with Delilah. Sorry, Lord, go back to bed with Delilah. Sorry, Lord, and go back to bed with Delilah. But a day is going to come. A day is going to come where you're not going to be able to get out of that bed with Delilah. A day is going to come, if we remain lukewarm, that the Lord will spew us out of his mouth. Far be it from us that that's our story. Far be it that any one of us listening to the sound of my voice, that will be our story. It's all about the heart. It's not about our actions, my friends. No wonder why the word says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not saying earn your salvation with fear and trembling. It's saying work out. The Lord has already deposited in you. The Lord has given it to you. You have to allow what has been put in the inside of you to come out. What is the evidence of what's in the inside of me? It is what comes out. The word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when my heart hates sin, listen, what will happen is, even when I struggle, I hate that sin. I don't want to be in bed with Delilah. Even though I may have struggled, where I know I want to be is in the presence of God. So I keep approaching his throne of grace to say, cleanse me, wash me. But our problem is that we're in a generation where, my friends, we're not bothered by the sin. We've become willful sinners, like what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. But the Lord is very clear that willful sin is like stomping, spitting on the Spirit of grace. That we so easily speak and say we are under grace to cover a multitude of willful sin. May God help us. May our hearts turn to God. May our hearts turn to God. It is a daily sacrifice. It is a daily walk. It is a daily searching of the heart. Even for me, my friends, I'm not speaking this from a place of having attained it. You know, today I was listening to a message and a song, an old song. Actually, it wasn't a message. It was an old song from about 7 years ago, sung by a famous Christian band. And somebody put in the comments that it's a shame that the artist who is leading the worship leader, renounced or denounced their faith in Jesus Christ. This is somebody that was serving the Lord for so many years, but they denounced their faith. You know, they were leading people to Christ, yet somewhere down the line, they themselves found themselves questioning faith, questioning if it was worth being a Christian, until they left the Christian faith. It's not an easy walk, my friends. It's not an easy walk. And even in reading that story and reading what happened with them, I got curious. I started looking back and I was like, wow, yeah, where do they end up? What ended up happening to them? And reading their rationale and everything else that was happening. And the enemy can easily plant seeds of, yeah, but they have a point there. They have a point there. And I found myself in that space where the Lord was saying to me, Christina, you need to be very clear, careful what you allow yourself to feed on. We need to be careful, my friends, what we allow ourselves to hear, our eye gates, our ear gates, and spend time in this word. Spend time in the full, true knowledge of the word of God, because only the word of God can keep us safe. The only thing, when you think of the full armor of Christ, that is a defense weapon, is the sword. Everything else, you wear it on your body. Everything else is, you know, what you use, what you're wearing for protection, and also the shield of faith, again, which you use to defend yourself from the enemy. But the thing that you use as an offensive weapon to attack back is a sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit, and that is the word of the Lord. So when you don't have the word in you, you don't have an offensive weapon to attack in the day of trial, in the day where the enemy is coming, in the day the enemy is trying to take you off your position as a child of God. Friends, I don't want to talk long. I don't want to digress. The message is simply this. You won't always be able. You won't always be able to break free. I'm going to read that starting scripture again in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 20, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before and other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." You won't always to be able to go out as before. You won't always be able to go out as before. You won't always be able to go out as before. Friend, you won't always be able to go out as before. If you stay in bed with Delilah, if you stay in bed with sin, if you stay in bed with that willful sin, you will not always be able to go out as before. May the Lord help us. May the Lord keep our hearts from stumbling. May the Lord keep our hearts fixed on Him. May the Lord keep our hearts whole. Like David, no matter whatever was happening in his life, the one thing that always remained for David is his heart. His heart was in line with God. No wonder why he was called a man after God's own heart. This message is not to say focus on trying in your own strength to do right. The message is this: may your heart hate what God hates and love what God loves. And how do you get to that position? You stay rooted in that word. You allow the Lord to write His laws, His word on His heart like He promised. That is a promise of the new covenant. You can see it in the book of Hebrews where the Lord says, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 8, "I will write my laws on their hearts. They will be my people and I will be their God." And when the Lord has written His laws on your heart, you desire the things of the Lord. So even when you sin and you make a mistake, you run to the throne of grace boldly and you receive mercy and help by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in authority over sin so that you're no longer a slave to sin. We cannot be slaves to sin and call ourselves Christians. We cannot be slaves to sin and call ourselves overcomers in Christ Jesus. It cannot work like that. So if there's a sin in your life that is repeated and it keeps coming, may you start to hate it. May you hate that sin until it causes you to be in tears in prayer to say, "God, I hate this sin." But if you get to a place like Samson, where you start to be in bed with that sin and get a pleasure from that sin, and it becomes willful, the word of God in Hebrews chapter 10 says, there is no more sacrifice for willful sinning. And the Lord says in Hebrews, in Revelation, that He will spew out of His mouth lukewarm. So may God help us, my friends. If this is the first time you're listening to the sound of my voice and you have not received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life, I want to take you through this prayer. Actually, before we do that, I feel like the Holy Spirit is just bringing me back to pray for or pray with Christians who want to recommit their walk to the Lord. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're saying, "God, you're convicting my heart. God, you're speaking to me. I was in bed with Delilah. I'd become comfortable to be in bed with Delilah. And my conscience was no longer feeling bad for me being in bed with Delilah. And God, I want to repent." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your love is so strong. Because Your word says that, Lord, You correct those You love.
Thank you for sending us a word of correction, a word of rebuke. And Father, we come before your throne today. And Dad, we say we are sorry, Lord. We are sorry for willful sinning, Lord. We are sorry for allowing sin room in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. We are sorry for accommodating sin in our churches. We are sorry for accommodating sin in our houses. We are sorry for accommodating sin in us, Lord. We are sorry for putting, oh God, idols in your temple. We are sorry, Lord. Oh, Father God, we bring our hearts before you today. I bring my heart before you today, oh God. And I say, Lord, I repent. And I thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your mercy that is so great, that abounds. We receive your mercy, oh God. And Father, we thank you that you've made provisions for us through the power of your Holy Spirit for us to become victorious, powerful, and to overcome sin. So we invite you, Spirit of God, to come and walk with us, to come and tabernacle in us, to come and live in us, to come and sweep our houses, your house. We give you access to every room of our house. We give you access to every room of this flesh house, this temple. We ask you to sweep every room, oh God, and furnish it according to your will and purpose. We want to know the true Jesus, the resurrected Christ. We want to fellowship with you, Lord, and we want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant on that day. So, Lord, we thank you. We will not walk condemned. We walk boldly, victorious, knowing that your word tells us that when we repent, you remember our sins no more. So now we walk victorious. And we thank you, Father, for this new beginning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Friends, if you've prayed this prayer, I ask you to really, really, really challenge yourself this week to pick just one verse that you start to memorize. It's not an easy thing to do. I know that these are tasks that normally, you know, we hear of in Sunday school, to memorize scripture. But it's something that I really think we need to go back into so that we have the Word of God, the active, living Word of God, living in our hearts. So I ask that you just pick a couple of scriptures that you choose to memorize over the next week as you embark on this journey with the Lord. And if you are new, you've never received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life, I want to take you through this prayer to reconcile back to God. Let's just pray. Follow after me. Heavenly Father, I have heard your word, and Lord, I confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to thank you that you have sent your Son, Lord Jesus, as an atonement of my sin to bring me back to yourself. What wonderful love and mercy that is. Thank you, Jesus. Today I receive you as Lord and personal Savior of my life. I ask you that you come into my life. I renounce and I denounce sin. I renounce and I denounce anything else I may have crowned God over my life. And I say, Lord Jesus, take your place. Be Lord over my life. And may your Holy Spirit fill me and guide me. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Friend, if you pray that prayer, I have put my email on the screen. Please do contact me. I would love to help you with just starting your journey in Christ, finding a Bible believing church, and just strengthening you and encouraging you on your journey. So if you are new to faith, this is your first time praying the salvation prayer, please do email me. Friends, until next time, may God help us. May God help us. May we have more and more of these conversations. This is Christina here on God Undiluted. I pray that as we continue to journey together, the Lord continues to strengthen us and uphold us and teach us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, and have a good week.